Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is the Get Right with Reggie KG, hour number two right here on 105 Through the Fan. Kevin Gray, Reginald Atatula, my man Joey holding it down for you here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station, 105 Through the Family. TruckRate.com text line 877-881-1053. If you want to get in on the conversation, appreciate you joining us on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. However, and wherever you may be listening, the Cowboys wrapping up walkthrough practice earlier today. It's Nobu night out in Oxnard, California. So party time for Jerry and the folks out there. If you could party with one person and where, that's a celebrity, we want you to tell us on the truckwreck.com text line, 877-881-1053.
RJ Ochoa.
Snoop's been getting a lot of votes so far on the truckwreck.com text line. They want to party with Snoop out in Cali.
Sure. I mean, is that what we're calling a party? I feel like people want more of a kickback. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because it's more of a, definitely a kickback for sure. Let's kick back right now with the manager and editor-in-chief of SB Nation's blog and the boys via the Diamond Factory Hotline. You can find him on Twitter, at RJ Ochoa. Of course, his name is RJ Ochoa. RJ, what's up, man?
Fellas, glory, glory, Man United.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Happy Premier League weekend to all of us. A successful campaign coming our way. Surely, I'm going to pick Cristiano Ronaldo for my celebrity just to fall on that grenade for all of us so I can get all the intel and then tell you too.
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be helpful.
Oh, okay,
although, I don't
okay.
think you want to tell me because I'm firmly in a place where I'm going to try and end him. I don't know if you gathered this from the way that I've talked. I'm over it.
Yeah, he's over it. He's over it. Yeah, he's over Ronaldo at this point.
And if we're talking about, like, athletes with legal issues, you know.
To move
very swiftly away from all
and
not even delve into Cowboys just yet, but RJ, I don't know where you fall. I am a little bit of a college football sicko. I have absolutely, yesterday, I read two long-form articles about the previews for the University of Houston and Kansas State University. So my question to do you have any college football sicko on you, and is it starting to ramp up?
You know, I'm very fortunate to cover the Dallas Cowboys for a living, and so that kind of wipes out half my weekend, you know what I mean? And so I have to kind of placate that with the fam, with the wife, and so I've just kind of given up college football as far as like a sicko level obsession. I certainly love college football. I love all the activities that come with the fall, which include, you know, a lot of Saturday afternoons or evenings, you know, socializing, whatever, with big time college football on in the back. Obviously follow the game, but I'm not a sicko. I'm, you know, I've got the sniffles compared to your like full on.
Oh, man. Well, RJ, speaking of the team that you cover on a daily basis, Stephen Jones, as I'll call him today, actually did something that universally, for most Cowboys fans, I can't say universally, most part in the same sense. Sorry. Universally, I think, was accepted, and the fact that they added a good football player in Anthony Barr today.
You know what? Let's give them their flowers. I don't know if we can, like, tiss treats some pie. I know that is like sort of a pro-pro. Dessert du jour, maybe out at Nobu tonight. But it's awesome and well deserving. The contract is great and all it checks all the boxes. It's low risk, high reward. It's a place where you don't need him right now. You're establishing an insurance policy. And so this is what we said to do at wide receiver 3 months ago. If you had done that, we'd be feeling better about that right now, or our offensive tackle or kicker. But I love this. There was a lot of smoke around here. So it does kind of feel like, you know what, Ross is her lobster. They finally kissed. You know what I mean? We've been waiting on this for a long time.
All right, so with the Anthony Barr thing, we'll come back to the wide receiver thing, but with the Anthony Barr thing, what do you envision his role being? Because, I mean, we talk about it, and some folks have talked about it as depth, but I've looked at it and I've said, this feels kind of like adding to the top end of your position group, which doesn't typically happen in camp. How do you envision his role looking?
I certainly think, you know, he's I think he's a point of depth in two really general ways. He's obviously a point of depth at linebacker, which you need because Micah is this unicorn that floats around. And so, you know, we've long been saying what happens if Micah's rushing the passer? What happens if Micah's not there? You got to prepare for any and all situation. And I do think he also adds a point of depth, you know, to your pass rushing group, right? We still haven't seen anybody evolve, you know, and it's still really early, but opposite of Tank. I know we're also really, you know, hopeful about Sam Williams. Dante Fowler's name hasn't really popped that much quite yet. So I think he just gives you options, and he's somebody who has experience. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. I mean, I think that is really sorely needed. This is a low-hanging fruit way to put it, but he's really what Malik Hooker was to the safety department last year. And so I think to come in to add another member to the platoon, to the rotation, to the wave, however you want to put it, I mean, that's what we've been waiting to see. And if it costed you $2 million, $3 million, you know, if every incentive hit and you had $22 million in salary cap space, excuse me, I mean, cool. Like, this is a great investment. It raises the floor. I don't think I don't think you want Anthony Barr playing in coverage in 2022. That's where, you know, Jabril Cox comes in, obviously. But he can do a very specialized thing at an efficient level. And I think free agents are signing in August. I think that's a fair thing to expect.
RJ Ochoa of SB Nation's Blogging the Boys joining us right here on the Get Right with Reggie KG on 105.3 The Fan. Before we get to the wide receiver, because that's a lot of conversation, I want to get your overall general thoughts to the first now week of training camp here. Obviously, we've seen some unfortunate injuries with James Washington. Matt Wiletzko had a little bit of a scare with, you know, Jayron Kearse. Like, there's been some things that have popped up, but what have been your overall thoughts on how things have progressed through the first week of camp?
I think a lot of people have referred to this roster as being very top heavy. It has a lot of superstars and it will need them to play very well, right? And some of those are you know, slight contingencies, you know, if CeeDee Lamb elevates and if Micah Parsons and Trayvon can do it again. And I think as far as the top, we've seen, you know, as much as you can, obviously, to this point, we've seen all those things look the way they're supposed to look. Dak has looked the way he's supposed to look. CeeDee, Micah, Trayvon, even Tank, Dalton Schultz, all those things are clicking in the ways you want to see. And so in that way, it's kind of chalked in a relaxing and a relieving sort of way. And I think that the positions that have, you know, been attacked, if you will, they were predictably, you know, loose. You know, if you consider, you know, the other positions I named and those players, Dak and CeeDee, those are the house of the little piggy built out of bricks. But you know, some of the positions are built out of twigs. You know what I mean? And you know, apparently there was a big old gust that was, you know, attacking the kicker position yesterday.
literally. And that literally, kind of, right.
That's blown down the house of twigs. And so it was predictable that at a certain point, receiver was going to be an issue. Swing tackle was going to be an issue. And so, you know, here we are, you know, we called it. So now how do we react?
All right. So we'll get to that wide receiver question again. We'll get to it in a little bit.
I promise we will. We will.
With that being the case, the signing of Anthony Barr, does that give you any level of confidence in this front office impaired with the amount of cap space that they have, despite the fact that Stephen Jones has tried to say that you need to have $15 million available for your practice squad and other things? Do you have any confidence that maybe they are willing to work around the edges to, you know, shore up some of those issues that do need depth?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did a TikTok on this subject because that.
What? Wait, hold on. Wait, time out.
You on the clock?
When did you get on TikTok?
Guys, I've been posting like maybe 2 to 3 TikToks a day, maybe for the last like 70 days.
So are they all football related?
My feelings are hurt right now. That's fine.
I'm not professionally on TikTok or TikTok at all.
Wait,
so
professionally? What does that mean?
I mean, there's professional reasons to use TikTok, which clearly RJ Ochoa was doing.
But you're on TikTok otherwise.
No, I'm not on TikTok at all.
So why'd you specify?
I think he's on. Somebody told on himself right
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Not at all.
No, you sussed it out, RJ.
Not at all.
But I did a TikTok that was, just five kind of general reasons to be excited about this. And number four was, this shows that the Cowboys kind of get it. And, I want to give them their flowers, give them their props. But they went out, and it's not just about, Anthony Barr being a big name, former first rounder, four-time Pro Bowler, but they did it, right? Like, there's this dude who can help, who's on the market, who you can negotiate with, and you did it. So good for you. You stood him, it's like when you go, you have to pick up like your license plate or something. It's something you don't want to do, but when you do it, you walk away with a sense of pride. Like, you know what? I did it. I did a really simple, mundane thing. And now I can put them on my car and feel proud of myself. And so, yeah, it does give me just the appropriate amount of hope that they're willing to apply this same sort of disposition to other places on the roster. If they're willing to be forward thinking and say, well, we need Anthony Barr because what if this? Okay, great job. Let's use the same approach to a bunch of maybe all of the positions on the roster. I don't know. That would be perfect.
RJ, we'll get to the wide receiver part now. I promise. Right now. I said earlier that this team is a CeeDee Lamb injury away from being the worst wide receiver core in the NFL. Tell me why I'm wrong.
What?
As they're currently constructed today, you're definitely not wrong. And I think, if even when Michael Gallup's back, I don't know that that's the most outlandish claim. I think maybe like, if you take CeeDee away and Gallup is healthy, I think I'd still probably rather have them than a couple of teams like New England or the Giants or, whatever. But I do think that CeeDee, that there are so many, I don't know if you guys are community fans. I love there's an episode where there's like all these timelines. It's the Remedial Chaos Theory.
That is the best episode of that show.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there's so many like alternate timelines existing here based on so many different, would-be injuries or disasters. And CeeDee maybe represents the biggest fork in the road. If he's awesome, if he's an alpha, if he's amazing, boom, number one offense, Kellen, God mode, Super Saiyan, and McCarthy is, this silver-haired fox now. I mean, everything's awesome. But if he's not, if CeeDee's not, that is, well, now what's the problem? You have no receiver you can count on, at least early on. Can Gallup elevate you? Can he be your Batman? And CeeDee's now delegated to Robin. Is Dak, not succeeding in that hypothetical? Is the offense not succeeding? Is the defense not doing its amazing thing? Then are you winning these like 10-7 games? What's going on? So CeeDee really can send this whole thing in two completely, totally different directions. Of non-Dak people, he might be the most important player on the team.
All right, we're talking to RJ Ochoa of Blogging the Boys. And RJ, full disclosure, I was never going to ask that question. I just wanted to continue the bit. But since we've already asked it, come on. It would have been funny. Tell me that wouldn't have been funny to just keep teasing
forward. I felt like we had to eventually pay that off because
we
kept saying it over and over again.
If you say so.
Yeah, I'm sorry I ruined your bit, Reg.
It's great. I think
you
asked a great question. RJ gave us a great answer. And to that end, right, a lot of people have been clamoring for the Memphis wide receiver Tony Pollard to get a little bit more touches and to maybe feature in the passing game more prominently. We heard from Jerry Jones, who was like, well, you can get him swing passes and things of that nature. But we heard from Kellen Moore, and Kellen has kind of given some implications that he could be stretching down the field in those things. How do you actually see this guy being deployed? And do you trust Kellen Moore to actually utilize him as we've gone through many an offseason, expecting him to get utilized and then seeing him kind of relegated?
I think those are two questions. By the way, you can't say relegated when we're talking about Manchester United. Like, still,
that's not an issue. It's not an issue.
I know, but still, your mind goes to a certain place. I think those two questions are really the same thing. How do you see him being utilized, and do you trust Kellen Moore? We sit here and we moan and we groan about how Tony Pollard has not been used for his entire Dallas Cowboys career. That completely, totally, 100% runs parallel with Kellen Moore's time as offensive coordinator. And I'm not like sitting here like, let's bag on Kellen, but he probably gets the least amount of blood on his hands for Tony Pollard. I'm not saying he doesn't get any, but there's mountains of data to support how Tony Pollard, should be utilized more and, in the slot and just as a receiver, like do whatever you want with him, just get the ball in his hands. And every year, we see the same things, from the tennis courts in Oxnard, Gilmore, yeah, I totally believe. Yeah, we're going to put them both on the field at the same time. We're going to run some 21 personnel stuff. And yeah, they'll do it, for a couple of games, and then they'll get comfy or they'll have to, kind of chill back and it'll fade. And so I don't trust that, if I'm being totally honest. I'm really nervous that Tony Pollard is going to be like the fantasy football darling of 2023, and everyone's going to be like, this dude was on the Cowboys? Like, what, you know, how why weren't they using him like this? So I really am terrified of that hypothetical. I do think I've decided that, you know, the Tony Pollard issue or subject is in the same box as the Ring of Honor. Like, the more we ask, the more we talk, the more we moan and groan, it's pushing it further and further away from reality.
RJ, do you have time to come back for another few minutes with us on the other side of this break?
You know what, guys? I was going to meet with the president and mayor
That's
the
right.
UN, but I don't need to anymore. You know, I'm here.
Okay, because I have a real specific question.
I know you were going to get the Frankie DeYoung signing. I know, but just put it all for a few minutes and talk to us just a little bit.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I'll tell I'll tell the Robbies and Rebecca Lowe to hang on. I'm doing their podcast next.
On the other side of the break, RJ Ochoa is going to come back with us because I want to get his very specific thoughts on Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, and the Ring of Honor. We'll do that next on 105 Through the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So get right with Reg and KG right here on 105 Through the Fan. Kevin Gray, Reginald Adetula, my man Joey holding it down for you here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station. We're continuing our conversation with SB Nation's blogging the boys, RJ Ochoa, right here on 105 Through the Fan. Last couple questions with him before we allow him to enjoy the rest of his evening. We want you to let us know on the truckrate.com text line, 877-881-1053. If you could party with anyone, with any celebrity, who would that be and why and where, in honor of Nobu Night out in Oxnard, California? It's the annual media party.
Which none of us are at, clearly.
No, we are live in Dallas as we are here in the studio and not in Oxnard.
That's right.
California.
Correct.
And RJ, you said it was Cristiano Ronaldo. Is that who you would party with? Is that correct?
I thought about it a little
bit
more.
You changed your answer. Okay.
Yeah, I do want to amend that. I want to go with Bruno Fernandes. You know what I mean? Like, just let's talk a chill drink. Maybe, you know, kind of a little bit colder outside, like on some like dark brown couches. You know what I mean? Like, not a lot of lighting, and just be like, hey man, what happened? You know, like,
not what happened.
Let's figure it out.
Okay. So.
That'd be fantastic. I mean, or just let Christian Eriksen take his place. That'd be good, too. RJ, obviously, you haven't been at camp, but you've been able to see a lot of the things at camp, as we have as well. The big thing that everybody talks about with this Cowboys team, it's hard to ignore a conversation about number four himself, Dak Prescott. And I know that we can't make too much out of, you know, training camp at times, but sometimes seeing him throw the ball, especially deep, and not be able to connect with these wide receivers is troubling for me. Do you have any concerns about that with Dak Prescott?
Not at all. And by the way, shout out to you guys, to the fan. I mean, I love Dak's interview with you all. Maybe the best interview I've ever heard with him in his time with the Cowboys. Really, really fun. I hadn't heard that Dak in a long time. You know, every time he does an interview, I love Dak. I think back to when he was on Pardon My Take, and he was asked what his favorite color was, and he said gray. That was no offense.
What's wrong with saying? What's wrong with that? You
know, like, yeah. Is your favorite color gray?
No,
I was about to say.
Well, I'm just saying, if it was, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, you know, but you know, it's great. It's awesome. I've really kind of enjoyed getting to see, you know, I think last year he had a little bit of like senior on campus vibes, but that seems like it's faded. Like he really does just kind of feel like the boss, but in like a cool way, like it's Google, you know. I know it's out in California and whatnot. But it's the right kind of energy. And I just haven't seen that in a very long time from a Dallas Cowboys player. So it's cool to see him kind of setting the tempo that way.
Before we get you out of here, something that you have been extremely passionate about throughout the offseason, really, I guess, a year ago, since it's ironically about to be around Hall of Fame weekend this weekend, when Cowboys owner, president, and general manager went on national television on Fox and said that he was putting Jimmy Johnson in the Hall of Fame. Fast forward a year later, that still has not happened yet, and he had some very interesting things to say earlier this week with respect to Jimmy getting into the Hall of Fame. And he said, "Whether it's not about whether or not Jimmy is quote sniveling or not." Your thoughts on the continued pettiness between Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones in this issue?
You know, I'm a big believer in objective data and letting that kind of, you know, rule and run my life. And so I understand that, you know, there's been things that have been said and you know, there have been things happening, I think, on both sides. And I think that's an argument that people bring up a lot. Well, he said, she said, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Like, at the end of the day, you know, this is a dynasty that changed professional sports, that massively changed the way this team is perceived. I mean, Jimmy, I don't have to sit here and obviously list Jimmy's qualifications to be in the Ring of Honor. I think I don't know that I can call it hypocrisy as much as it is just to your point and to Newey Scruggs' point, outright pettiness. It's sad. It's no longer like embarrassing or frustrating. It's just sad. I think first and foremost, obviously, Jimmy deserves that moment to be able to, you know, be honored among Cowboys fans. But I think the Cowboys fans deserve that moment. You know, I want to see that. You know, I want to see that and talk to my dad about it. You know, talk to, you know, other people about it. Like that's an important chapter in this franchise's history that is just like ignored, you know, in that particular sense. And so, you know, we do a show at Blog of the Boys every week on our podcast network with Tony Casillas. He has, you know, long championed Jimmy getting in. And we all kind of really enjoyed it when Jimmy went into the Hall of Fame and it got delayed, obviously. But it's silly. Again, like you can point out, you know, Jerry saying it last year and taking the moment from Jimmy. I know Kurt Menefee set him up. I've watched that clip 1,000 times. But he did kind of take the moment away. You guys remember that night? Every article, you know, we did it too. Every article was, oh, Jerry's putting him in. Jerry's putting him in. Mm-hmm. Well, why? And I think this, you know, idea of now, like, well, there's other people that have to go in. Cool, put them all in. Like, but, you know, in 2011, Jerry put in Larry Allen, Drew Pearson, and Charles Haley all at the same time. That's three different people, three different players from three different eras of Dallas Cowboys history. You want to put in Tutal Jones, Harvey Martin, you know, Charlie Waters, Everson Walls. I mean, Cornell Green, put them all in. Put all five of them in with Jimmy. But you cannot make any objective argument to support keeping him out. And I don't know any Cowboys fan who wants to make that argument. And so I would respect, and I would disagree, obviously, but I would respect to Jared to be like, you know what, guys? It's my Ring of Honor. I want to do it. I don't want him in. And you know what? If you don't like that, so be it. But I paid for it, so it's mine. I mean, you know, at least own it that way. That's just kind of how I feel at the end of the day.
RJ, appreciate you. Is there anything that you want to get off your chest? Like anything that just a take, if you want to, you know, we just want to give you a little time to do that.
You know, I was talking to my wife about this. I think that, you know, we all love pie, right? Like, you know, I honestly did not mean to make that joke. But I do believe that like the crust is a necessary component in a pie, like in a dessert. Like if the crust is not good, the pie is not good. But in a pizza, which is a pie, the crust doesn't have to be good for me. Like I'm talking about the outer rim, not the bottom. You know what I mean? Like, so while it is a pie, I don't need the crust to be good on a pizza the way I do, you know, for a dessert pie. But you know, if you guys disagree, you're wrong and stupid and I hate you.
Fantastic.
That's an interesting take. We might have to ponder on that.
I'm thinking on it. Yeah. I think I might agree with you.
I think I might agree with you on that, RJ. Thanks for bringing that up. You can find
him. Pie is all about the meat, sauce, and cheese, boys.
Facts.
And vegetables?
No.
I should have known.
The only defect in RJ Ochoa is the fact that he cheers for that team in Houston. But other than that, he is fantastic, and you can find him on Twitter at RJ Ochoa, covering all things for the Dallas Cowboys on SB Nation's Blogging the Boys. RJ, as always, appreciate the time, my man.
Thanks a lot, guys. Kevin Gray's on TikTok. Astros fan 1234.
Never. Right. Thank you.
Glory, glory, buddy.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Again, you can find him on Twitter at RJ Ochoa. It's the Get Right with Reggie KG right here on 105.3 The Fan. We were talking about the wide receiver conundrum a little bit with RJ.
Yeah, and we had a good text that, I mean, I don't think anybody disagrees with, but it's worth, you know, reiterating from the 214. Receiver was an issue before the injury. I'm just saying.
And yeah.
I mean, I know me personally, I know on the show, and I'm certain many other people have been clamoring, like, go sign somebody. And I know weird, even weird names have been thrown out, you know, like I know one that really KG is very fond of is Dez Bryant. The people have been throwing out.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You tried it.
What, you're not fond of that idea?
Like, y'all got to quit, man. Like, I put out a list of receivers that were available, you know, guys like Will Fuller. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., T.Y. Hilton.
Eugene, right.
Yeah, all these guys are available. People kept jumping in my mentions, talking about Dez. Dez what? Dez who? Dez Bryant? Like, come on, man, we got to let that go. Like, that's not going to happen. And I think in some ways it reflects at times this fan base and so some ways reflects, you know, from the front office as well. The nostalgia that this organization gets stuck in sometimes. Like, these dudes are not walking through the door again. Like, the kind of player that at times I think Jerry and Stephen Jones wants to walk through the door to remind them of the Michael Irvins and the, you know, the Charles Haley's, you know, whomever you want to name. Some of those dudes, a lot of those kinds of dudes aren't walking through that door anymore. Dez is a very particular player, a very good player, one of the best receivers during his time in the NFL. Like, that ship has sailed at this point. Let it go. Let it go. That's all I'm saying. That's all I wanted to get off my chest when it came to that particular, because I knew Reg would try to charge me up with.
Do you feel better?
A little bit, yeah.
Sometimes this is therapy, and I'm glad that you got that off your chest.
Well, I just got to quit, man. Just let it go. Even Cole Beasley.
Well, I think Cole Beasley is different. I don't think that, because I think you're right, and I think this speaks to a larger thing with the Cowboys where a lot of times it feels like they're looking back instead of looking forward, which I think a lot of Cowboys will decry. Cole Beasley, I think, is a reasonable thing to talk about. Now, I think some of this is the off-the-field stuff and, like, making sure that the cultural, you know, there's a cultural cohesion, as I just make up a phrase that I don't even know what it actually fully means. But, like, I hope that making sure that everybody is aligned, there's alignment with an idea of what he would be coming. But, like, he came in, or he's, in very recent times, been a productive wide receiver, and that's kind of what you want, especially because we've talked about how this organization seems to prioritize making sure that you keep a clear path for your young players to get opportunities and not putting roadblocks in front of that. So I don't necessarily know that you want to sign a player that's going to step in and be in front of those young guys to get an opportunity, but at least somebody who's going to come in and be a support, and I think Cole Beasley fits that. Now, one of the ways, obviously, they could help fix their wide receiver conundrum is getting Tony Pollard more opportunities as an actual wide receiver, as it seems like there's a possibility or a plausibility of, with the way that Kellen Moore has talked about the, you know, him being able to go and run routes. I don't trust them to do that. Plus, I'm a little scared, just a smidgen, you know, just a little bit, because in rewatching games, I remember vividly, and I can't remember which game it was, I'll have to look at my notes, where Tony Pollard is out on the right side, runs a slant, ball hits him right in the numbers, and he drops it. So, like, I almost wonder, are those hands still there in that way? And maybe that's sacrilege. Maybe that all he needs is, you know, enough opportunities to run some routes, and then boom, it's all back again, like riding a bike. But that would be something. But, yes, just add a veteran presence because, again, it's not just about what you got on paper. We know football's a war of attrition. You're playing 17 whole games, right? Like, injuries are going to happen, and, yes, you're expecting someone to come back from injury, but then what about the expectation or the possibility, the plausibility of somebody then going and getting injured again? And God forbid it's CeeDee Lamb, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a problem that even before, you know, the injury to Washington happened, that kind of thing, that had needed to be addressed once you decided to move on from Amari Cooper, because you're putting a lot of pressure on young guys to fill the roles of veterans, and still not having Michael Gallup fully healthy yet is still a problem that you're going to have to deal with until he comes back. So all of that has come to a head, and it got exacerbated, obviously, with the injury, you know, to James Washington. So, you know, again, this is about how the Cowboys find a way to ensure that the depth that they need at one of the most important positions on this team, given the fact that this offense last year was statistically the best in the NFL when it came to scoring points, how do you ensure that this quarterback has what he needs to continue to make this offense successful?
Okay, that's an interesting point. Let's stick on that for just a moment. Do you feel like this has a possibility of being an average or slightly above average offense with the wide receiving core as constituted? Because there is something to remember or to think about when you consider the fact that they were previously one of the better offenses, if not one of the best offenses last year, at least when it came to production-wise, right? So, yes, this is a clear step back from what it was last year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's awful. What do we think that this team with this constituted wide receiving core is capable of?
I'm not sure. I think we know what CeeDee Lamb is capable of, and you're hoping that he continues to take the next step now that he's going to have the full attention of defenses week in and week out. But the rest of this receiving core is unknown. Between Jalen Tolbert, between obviously, you know, with Vasher, Noah Brown, Simi Fehoko, like, you got a lot of guys that you know really nothing about. And the dependency on them to be real contributors to this offense is something that they have to lean on. So I don't think this offense will be as good as it was a year ago.
Sure, but again, I don't think that's the end all be all. If this isn't, I don't remember what they ultimately finished as. They still were the number one offense, were they not?
They're number one offense in the NFL.
If I tell you that this wide receiving core, and of course I'm just pulling a number out of my keister. If I tell you this offense is instead of 1-8 this year,
if they were the number eight offense,
are you cool with that? Right, like, and is that possible? Because again, as much as
if they're a top eight offense with this current receiver group as constructed, then that means Dak Prescott must have elevated this game
right,
to another level.
And again, that was entirely hypothetical. Just to get to the, back to the idea of, just because this is a lesser wide receiving core, I wonder what the wide receiver core is capable of. Because again, I also don't want to swing too far to the side that we ignore that Michael Gallup is indeed coming back. Now, I would love for them to have a stronger wide receiving core for however long he is out, because mm-hmm. the way that he talked about it, especially when he came out and was like, yo, week one is not a plausibility, that doesn't sound like it's only week one, right? That sounds like it's two,
I'm anticipating the first month of the season.
Maybe three, maybe
honestly.
Four.
Yeah.
Before, I was thinking 3 to 5, mm-hmm. you know? And like, you want to make sure that you're solid for that, because you can't just write off 3 to 5 games of a season. However, when he does come back, at that point, you have CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, and then maybe Jalen Tolbert has stepped up in the way that they anticipate. Maybe Simi Fehoko actually is, you know, developed. And again, I sound like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, and I get that. I'm just trying to examine the full possibility of what this is, even though I would love to add someone like a Eugene Hilton, right, to understand that for a month or so, I think he can give you something. Or even a Will Fuller, where I know people talk about, well, he's going to get injured. Well, I don't know that you need him for 17 games. I think you need him for 4 or 5. You know what I mean?
And I think that's the part where you have to look at and see what kind of depth they can still add as we go through the rest of training camp and into the preseason, because they still need to address that particular position. It's the Get Right with Reggie KG right here on 105 Through the Fan. After the trade deadline is come and gone for the Texas Rangers, what exactly is the plan going forward for this team? We'll talk about it on your home of the Rangers next on 105 Through the Fan.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So Get Right with Reggie KG right here on 105 Through the Fan on this Wednesday night, Reg, right here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What's the Rangers' plan going forward after the trade deadline has concluded? We'll get into that conversation here on your home of the Rangers, 105 Through the Fan, here in just a moment. Just to finish out, what you laughing for?
What you didn't hear from the off-air conversation that was kind of on air.
Right, exactly. I wish people sometimes, right? That's I know what you're referring to. You know, could hear like the conversations, and you did kind of a little bit, I guess.
There you go.
During the commercial break of the show doesn't stop. Like, if you listen to Sean and RJ, KNC Masterpiece, G-Bag, our show, The Get Right with Reggie KG, our shows don't stop during the commercial breaks. Like, they just don't. Like, we're constantly talking about what we may have just been talking about or what we're about to talk about. And to finish out, you know, the conversation we're having about the wide receiver, you know, room going into this upcoming year, like, I don't feel great right now about the wide receiver room, given the fact that right now it's CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Tolbert as your number one and number two wide receivers.
Yeah.
But if the season were to start today.
Yeah, but my point ultimately was just I wonder what a paired back receiving room looks like and what they're capable of, because as much as we talked about last season, the back of the path of the season where it felt like they weren't achieving their maximum, they were still putting up numbers. And again, I know that numbers isn't necessarily results, and that's ultimately what all the Cowboys fans are in it for. But I think numbers are possible with this offense, even with this wide receiving core. I don't know if it's probable. That remains to be seen, but I likened it, and we'll talk about this here in the next segment as I've been rewatching, and my rewatch came to week 12 against the Las Vegas Rams, or Raiders, goodness. And with the Raiders game, you didn't have Amari Cooper nor CeeDee Lamb, and you put up yards, buddy. You put up yards, and that was Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, and Noah Brown. You know what I mean? And two of those guys will remain on this team. Of course, no, or Michael Gallup missing time. But, like, I wonder, are you still capable of putting up those types of numbers, even against teams that are good to decent, like the Las Vegas Raiders? So, yeah, that was the point that I was ultimately trying to make.
Obviously, it's going to be continuously talked about throughout the course of training camp until this team either addresses the position or they don't.
From the 817, did anyone mention T.O.'s available? KG, how you feel?
Yeah, don't do this.
Okay, all right.
Even though T.O.'s like, he's ready. T.O., you know, at 55 years old or however.
Ready for what?
He's ready to play.
Play some Madden? Is he the one that, no, that's Ocho that be playing people with Madden.
Did you, right. But still, hey, you know, you never know. Why not? T.O. could probably go catch a pass or two from Dak as well. Appreciate you joining us on the ChartRate.com. Text on 877-881-1053 if you want to get in on the conversation. Who do you want to party with? And who would you, and where would you want to party with in terms of a celebrity if you had the chance to do so in honor of Nobu Night out in Oxnard, California? The annual media party is tonight. So we want to know which celebrity, who would you want to party with? And let us know on the chartrate.com text line. Unfortunately, the good guys go down today.
Today, all series. That's a sweep against the Baltimore Orioles, dog.
This is the second time they got swept by them as well.
Against the Baltimore. All right, I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Hold on, dog. No. You got it. We got to set it up. You got to set it up proper.
Okay.
My bad.
Well, you like you.
I jumped the gun. I really did.
Oh boy. Yeah. The good guys go down 6-3. They wasted a terrific start from Martin Perez. Martin Perez was once again fantastic for the Texas Rangers, but unfortunately they go down in all three games of their three game series against the Baltimore Orioles. Now dropped to 46-58 on the year. They begin a four-game series against Tim Anderson and the Chicago White Sox.
Well, that's cool. That's another team that's been underperforming. But God, they don't even have Trey Mancini, dog. They just traded him.
Yeah, they really did. Martin Perez went six innings, nine strikeouts in the six innings, only giving up one earned run. Unfortunately, did not get the decision as the Rangers go down today.
Yeah, so we just came out of the All-Star break. I mentioned Trey Mancini gets traded from the Orioles, and this is a team that we had real problems figuring out whether they were going to be buyers or sellers, right? And, I mean, we talked to our pre- and post-game host, Jared Sandler, before the trade deadline. He was like, a little bit of both, maybe, basically, you know, that would kind of be determined. Ultimately, they kind of just sold a little, like a smidge. They dipped into, and they were just kind of like, they like the guys that would have possibly been on the trading block. Martin Perez and Matt Moore, both remaining, and it seems like those guys potentially have a future with this. They would love to have a future with this team. But Matt Bush gets traded, reliever, and you get a young 28-year-old infielder who is going to go to AAA, and you get a younger 22-year-old pitching arm who's going immediately to double A. And I'll pull up the names for you because I realize that that's actually not a great way of talking about this. But I didn't want to focus on the prospects, but just the idea, you got a couple of prospects, but it doesn't make it clear on what way this organization is going. So, of course, after the trade deadline, we get an opportunity to hear from John Daniels, big-time executive for the Texas Rangers. This is what he had to say, one of the things that he had to say on deadline day.
We've been talking a lot about it. I think there's real value in building momentum into 23 for a host of reasons, really to do with, you know, our fans and the club and kind of expectations into next year. I think we said pretty clearly we expect to take a step forward this year. We had hoped to, you know, that we could maybe overachieve a little bit and be in playoff contention. But, you know, as we've said all along, we really feel like, you know, next year we expect to win.
Did you hear that, Reg? You hear what the president of the baseball operations, John Daniels, said about this year going into next year? You heard that word that he used? You heard that word, Joey, that he used? What was that word, Joey, that he used? Did you catch the word that he used? No?
Expect.
Thank you.
No, fantastic. That's one of them. But the other one, the more potent word that he used, Reg, momentum.
Okay, he could be wrong, too. Okay.
Building the momentum from this year into next year.
I mean, he could be wrong, too. But ultimately, even in that idea, right, I imagine that they want to sign. And Martin Perez has made it clear that he would like to be a Texas Ranger for a little bit longer, signing him to a longer deal, making sure that he is a part of the rotation and those things. They anticipate being a winning club. And one of the questions that I have is Chris Woodward the guy to get them there?
Oh, boy.
Look,
okay.
I am one of the people, and I might be one of the few people. Okay. I don't know what the actual, you know, the likelihood is or the, you know, the contingency is out there of people that, like, really enjoy Chris Woodward. I love Chris Woodward. One of the things I love about him is he gives you great answers. I know he's kind of monotone. That's fine. If you listen to what he says, he gives you really, really interesting answers, mm-hmm. well thought out. And, like, some people don't love to hear it. He's a process-oriented dude. Like, the idea being, if you do the things right, ultimately the results will come. But the problem is, like, we've seen real up and down, like, situational managing, but I'm not the most adept at that, so I'm not going to focus on that. What I will focus on is we've seen a real dip in this club of late. And that's kind of frustrating. And especially when you consider he's been real bold about his.
Mm-hmm.
He's made it very clear. Like,
it's time to be evaluated now.
I believe now you can evaluate me. This is the type of club. There's enough talent here for me to be evaluated. So it might be early because I don't know that a lot of people want to just take a half a season or three quarters of a season sample size to evaluate the manager, but oh, man, this is, like, I'm starting to see a dip in a way that makes me concerned for my guy.
Well, here's a couple of things. I think this is kind of the first year for Woodward that he's had an opportunity to field a team that you can relatively look at as competitive. Now that you've brought in Semien, you've brought in Seager, you're starting to see, I think, the vision for which GM Chris Young and John Daniels have for this team. Let's continue to build with this lineup. Get some names in here, get some guys that offensively we know that can continue to produce while still developing our young guys. One of the names that has, I think, Rangers fans most excited right now, particularly, is a guy in Leody Taveras, who you see as your center fielder of the future. And now with the bat coming around and being kind of and being consistent the way that it is and needs to be, you could see where this team is going. But I thought the moves in terms of staying pat at the trade deadline, I thought was the right one for this team. Like, I wanted them to keep Martin Perez, guy who's been very good for them, continues to be very good for them, but more importantly, I think fits their timeline and what they're trying to do to build a contender going forward, because you're still waiting on some of your younger guys, your younger pitchers to still come along.
Speaking of, I believe Cole Reagans is likely to be mm-hmm. your starting pitcher tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's right. So having a chance, and congratulations for him, because he's been through a lot.
Boy, he's been through
it. Two Tommy John surgeries. Like, he's been through a lot to get to this point, so happy for the young man that he's going to be able to make the start tomorrow. And again, that's part of figuring out rotationally what this team is going to look like, because right now there are still questions about guys like Taylor Hearn. Do you have him?
Oh, he's not a start anymore. I mean, he pitched the eighth inning yesterday, did he not? Like, that's at this point, they have fully decided that's a bullpen arm, and he's a pretty good one at that.
For me, I think it's a great role for him. Like, I could see him with the kind of stuff that he has being a terrific setup man, a seventh, eighth inning guy. Obviously, they're still, you know, working through their closer situation as well. But I think long term, Taylor Hearn will be better in the bullpen. But again, this goes back to the vision that they're building. And I think for Woodward himself, this was the first year that he had to really be able to kind of start to really put his imprint on a team mixed with, you know, veterans and young players as they grow. And then next year, I think will be that full evaluation, because I don't think the Rangers will go into this offseason and not improve this team.
Yeah. Well,
or attempt to improve
this
team.
That's the hope, right? Because, again, this is where you battle what I've seen recently and what I kind of have seen over a longer period of time. And with the Rangers, Rangers fans have looked at this Rangers team and been like, this is a team that's been unwilling to go and do things and going. But it seems like they turned the corner. Like I said, they put a half billy on the table, you know, for Seager and Semien, and they added Calhoun. Like they did some things.
And now you're in the place with your farm system to where you can make things happen.
Well,
now,
kind
if,
of,
if
right?
If you choose to.
Because this is something where I think you can give some deference to Woodward and say, okay, this might not be the best place to evaluate him, because I do wonder what you're supposed to do when you only have two arms in a rotation, or if you're being generous, three arms in a rotation. So, you know, you have Martin Perez, you have John Gray, who recently went on the IL.
Yeah, with an oblique strain. Yeah.
You have Dane Dunning, Glenn Otto has played well recently, but you know, you don't have a fully realized rotation. And then the bullpen that you have, which I mean is okay, is now being overtaxed because you don't have a rotation. And that's because you went through a team building strategy of, well, the young kids will be here soon enough. The reserves will be here. And they have not developed. This has been an unfortunate season of development for your pitchers. So I do. Okay, that's fair. But I think that Chris Woodward, and this is something I don't know, how that locker room is taken to him, how that locker room is continuing to abide by the philosophies. And you know, I would love to see some signs of hope, some signs of life in the last part of the season, because like we played with JD, and I know there's folks that have their issues with JDs. I hear you. But the expectation is clearly they wanted to win this season, but they realized maybe that was a little early, but they definitely want to win next season. And
definitely.
So the signs of life, the proof of concept has to be there. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to in the remainder of the season.
The Rangers moved Matt Busch to the Milwaukee Brewers in exchange for Antoine Kelly and Mark Mathias, the move that they made at the deadline. We will see. The Rangers get back onto the field tomorrow when they begin a four-game series with the Chicago White Sox, welcoming Tim Anderson.
Bounce back series, ain't that right, Joey?
Joey's like, please.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That didn't sound very confident Not at all. Rez, where are we going next on the Get Right with Reggie?
2021 Cowboys rewatch has reached week 12, the Las Vegas Raiders on Thanksgiving Day. Let's talk about it next on the Get Right with Reggie KG on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.